I take you to two portions of Scripture for our sermon this morning. The first one out of Isaiah chapter 42, and I read the first 14 verses. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says the Lord, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. The settlements where Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Sela sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. And I also take you to Romans chapter 1, and I begin with verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that in their bodies they would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This morning we come to the fifth and the last of the solas of the Reformation, and we consider to the glory of God alone.
And once again, as with other sermons in this series, the problem is really a problem of riches. How do we condense into a regular length sermon an examination of the glory of God as it is set out in the biblical text? How do we not make this a 10-hour sermon because there is so much material to cover? We must bypass so much. But we have given you three lengthy portions of Scripture this morning in our readings from three different parts of the Bible, from three different time zones, and from three different situations. Let's take a look at each of them ever so briefly. In Chronicles chapter 5, we have in 5, 6, and 7, we have there the account of that great temple which Solomon had built. David had laid out the plans, but it was Solomon who would have the honor of actually overseeing the construction and the completion of that temple. And it comes to dedication time. And we read how that the smoke, how that the cloud comes. There was no smoke machine such as some churches have to artificially generate something. It was the real McCoy. It was God coming in such power, and his glory was so present there that they couldn't hold service. Everything came to a grinding halt, and the people were absolutely awestruck at the presence of God there amongst them. Well, it was a great day. It was a high day. It was a day to be remembered throughout all the centuries and even into eternity, how that there the people had gathered together, and they had accomplished a great work. And there in Jerusalem, in the city which God had specifically chosen as a focal point for the people to gather, to worship his name, for his glory to be demonstrated, there. But not there alone. Yes, there was the temple of gold, and there was the Ark of the Covenant, there was the priestly service, and there the people would pilgrimage time and time again and offer their praise. But we read in Isaiah, we read in Romans, we read in Genesis, we read in Psalms, how that the glory of God was shown throughout all of creation, and that the people rightly worshiped him. But then we come also to Isaiah. Now here we find ourselves 250 or more years later, after the time of the dedication, and it is a time of decline, whereas the dedication of the temple in Solomon's day was a high point in the kingship of David and Solomon. As the temple is dedicated, there is a high point, but years would pass and the fervor, the religious fervor of the people would wane. And here, in Isaiah's time, we find that the Assyrians are hard pressing against the northern kingdom and, in fact, take them away. And Jerusalem is shaken, badly shaken, by what they observed so close at hand, just to the north. Isaiah is the man on the spot who is preaching to the people. He is declaring both God's judgment as well as God's hope that there would be better days. And here in chapter 42, God is the one who says, "My glory I will not give to another. It is not up for grabs. I am the Lord." Then we turn over into Romans, and once again we find ourselves in a very different situation. We find ourselves having about 8 centuries passed from Isaiah's time to the time when Paul is making his way around the Mediterranean world, proclaiming the glory of God, which has come in the person of Jesus Christ to die upon Calvary's cross, to shed his blood, not for his own sin, but for your sin and for mine. And Paul, as he unfolds here in Romans the plan of salvation, he begins with the very worst of news, how that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And once again, Paul, he goes back even to creation, and he talks about how that God is evident within them because God has made a stamp upon each and every one of us since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Need to think about that a while. Invisible attributes clearly seen or clearly perceived as we consider what God has done. But there have been those who have constantly tried to erase that, to ignore it, and to encourage others to do the very same thing. As we come to consider the glory of God and how that all that takes place, according to Colossians chapter 3, 17, as Paul says, in all that you do, do all to the glory of God. It would seem that God is some type of, that he has some kind of challenges of the cerebral kind, that he's some kind of power monger, that he is some kind of a megalomaniac, wanting all of this glory to himself. Well, Romans chapter 1 helps us in this because, you see, if we do not give glory to God, then we are giving it to someone else. We are giving it in opposition to who God is. You see, there is no neutral ground. If someone says, well, look, I will simply withhold the glory that is due to God, I will just not give it to anybody, it doesn't work. It does not work. Either we honor God for who he is, for his person and for his work, either we honor him or we honor the devil and his lies. We honor the idols and we honor the false gods of this world that the devil has conjured up. My glory I will not give to another. The Lord says, I am the Lord. Throughout the Old Testament, right through Genesis, immediately after the fall, God was concerned to reveal himself, to demonstrate himself. And part of himself is his undeniable glory. You know, it's not some arrogant thing for a man like Itzhak Perlman to say, you know, I can play the violin pretty well. It's just truth. It's just fact. It's why the concert hall here a short while ago was absolutely packed out to hear the man play. He suffered polio as a child, and so he walks with metal crutches, but whatever that polio did to his legs certainly never affected his arms and his fingers. He can play like nobody's business. So it's not arrogant for him to say, you know, I think I can play that. I think I can play fairly well. Yes, indeed you can, Mr. Perlman. And it's not arrogant for God to say, my glory, my very character, my very person, I will not surrender that to someone else. I will not let the devil have it. He wants it. He desperately would want to have my very throne. But it's not up for grabs. It's not up for grabs. Look at Romans 1 once again with me. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, those who are not in the right, not right in their heart, not right in their head, not right in their actions. All ungodliness, those who work against God, God's wrath is revealed against all of those who suppress. They don't want it to bother themselves, and they also don't want it seeping out, creeping out, and getting to others either. Paul says, that which is known about God, it's evident to them. They know it. It bugs them. Oh, it eats away at them. That which is known about God is evident within them. It keeps cropping up, and though they vehemently deny it, God made it evident to them. The image of God stamped upon us, that though we have fallen in sin, yet that unmistakable imprint is upon each and every one of us. Verse 20, since the creation of the world, those invisible attributes, eternal power, divine nature, all of these which speak of his indescribable glory, which the Bible labors, even the Bible, the very sacred text, it labors to describe the indescribable, his eternal power, his divine nature, things beyond our comprehension, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. They are without excuse. They can't stand before God and say, you know what, God? I don't know what you're talking about. Divine wrath and judgment? Eternal punishment? What are you talking about? We have excuses. No, you don't. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. My New American Standard Bible translation uses the word did not honor him as God. When I first read it, I used the literal word that is there in place of honor. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. You see, they did not declare God for who he truly is. They withheld from God what was due to him. They wanted to rob him of his glory. They wanted to, in small and large ways, they wanted to say, we'll take that and we'll pull that and we'll take that as well. The glory of God, his divine power, his divine nature will rob him of that. Was Jesus really born of a virgin? Was Jesus really God incarnate? We'll pull that and we'll just make him a great teacher, a great rabbi, a man of amazing story, one who held the people absolutely dazzled because of his speech and his eloquence. They did not honor him or give thanks. What was the outcome of such things? We would say, well, these people, they are well, so-called, well-meaning, and they just mean to be neutral. They haven't made up their minds yet. They haven't glorified God. You see, it affects their whole person. They became futile in their speculations. And Paul nails it on the head, and he says, their heart, which is not just misguided, it is utterly foolish, was darkened. They thought themselves so smart. They became fools. And what they were doing, they were bartering away the glory of God, which had been revealed for our delight and for our enjoyment, for our blessing. They bartered it away. Verse 23, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God and they got just trinkets in return. exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, crawling creatures. And God said, I will not push the situation. I will not twist your arm. If you like trinkets rather than the glory of God, so it will be. God gave them over. Their bodies dishonored among them. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth. They exchanged the glory of God. They exchanged what can hardly be put into human language. Read Ezekiel chapter 1. As the glory of God is revealed to Ezekiel and he endeavors to describe it, and others have come along and they've tried to take the words that Ezekiel describes and put it onto a canvas to describe it. And they say, Ezekiel, we just can't get a hold of what you're saying to us. And Ezekiel would likely say to us, and I can't describe it any better. It is so far surpassing. The people exchanged the truth of God, what God truly is, for a lie, and worshiped and served the creator, the creature. Isaiah chapter 42, once again, verse 8. I am the Lord. That word, that name, the Lord, was what was given to Abraham and Moses way back, Genesis, Exodus. I am the Lord. That is my name. And God was saying, I am single, I am unique, I am alone. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my character, my power, my nature, or anything that is rightly, truly due to me to another. And my praise I will not give to any other. And so the response is in verse 10, sing to the Lord. Sing his praise. And verse 12, the exhortation, the encouragement. Let them, let all the earth, let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise. Faith Bible Church, we proclaim salvation by God's grace alone. For if it was not for God stepping forward and pouring out his riches upon us in Jesus Christ, we would have utterly no hope. We proclaim salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. Faith is the door. When we trust in God's word, when we attend to what he has declared as being the right path for each and every one of us, through faith we live. We proclaim salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Christ is our only hope. He is the sure foundation. He is the rock upon which a life can be built, and which that life will not give way. Not any other. Not any other philosophical system. Not any other religious system. In Christ alone. And it is on the authority of Scripture alone. We have no other book. We have no other guidance. We have no other light to speak the words of God to us. On the authority of Scripture alone. And it comes round once again to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. For the glory of God alone, all that we do, on a Sunday morning, a Sunday afternoon or evening, a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in early life, in midlife, in later days, on holidays, on regular days, however you chop up the calendar, in whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God. For that is only right and proper. And too much time in this world has been giving glory to other things. But here once again, Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 12. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise. Lord, we come before your word and we hear this exhortation that we ought to give glory to your name. O Lord, both as we are together and as we are isolated wherever you appoint us, may it be that in our words, in our very thoughts, in the intents of our heart, in the things that our hands find to do, let it be that you are ever and always glorified. May it be that others see us as different, as not taking honor to ourselves, but as constantly pointing the way to Jesus Christ and what has been done for us. Pointing the way to God the Father, who has loved us with such a love. Pointing the way to the Holy Spirit, who so delights to take the things of Christ, to make them real to us, who illuminates us, helping us to understand your word. Oh, that we might glorify you every single moment. Hear us, Lord. Work your will. And Lord, should there be anyone who does not know you, who is not walking with you here today, may they hear this call that they come and give glory to the God of heaven. And Lord, I pray that in that heart right now, that they would sense your stirring, and that they would answer that call, and that they would come and turn, and that they would realize the greatest way that they could possibly give you glory is by surrendering their life to you and to you alone. Lord, let that happen right now as your Spirit softly calls and woos and beckons them. Lord, may there be an answer. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I surrender myself completely and absolutely to you. Wash me with your blood. Make me clean. Hear us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.